It's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. It is Wednesday, the 10th of July. It's 4 minutes past nine and we are all set for another 3 hours of the 9 to noon show. How are you all keeping out there? Hopefully you're going to enjoy this show particularly. It's a very busy one, a lot of diverse, interesting topics for us to discuss. And of course, we always want you involved in that conversation or starting your own WhatsApps and texts to the following number 086 60 25,000. If you're listening outside the Republic, it's 00353 86 60 25,000. WhatsApp voice notes can be sent to that number as well. If you want to give us a call, the number is 07491 25,000. And if email is your thing, well, it's comments@highlandradio.com. And of course, a reminder for you, you can watch the show if you're at home on your smart TV or your Fire Stick. Just go into the YouTube app, type in Highland Radio Ireland, and there we are. And we're also on Facebook, Highland Hub, Highland News and Sport, and on the X platform, Highland Radio Ireland. Okay, we're going to start with a digital publication today as we look through the newspapers. And this was the lead story for the Ditch website yesterday, and it has quite serious ramifications for many people in Donegal. The Attorney General, in private correspondence on government's MICA scheme, suggested measures to reduce the number of applicants, limit the state's financial exposure, and help ensure claims were kept as low as possible. He wrote it would be imperative to ensure applicants could only avail of the least costly option. Attorney General Paul Gallagher advised that the government scheme to compensate those affected by the MICA crisis would lead to significant abuses from homeowners applying. Gallagher, whose own property portfolio we're told is worth $8.5 million, warned the Housing Minister Dara O'Brien any applicant will pitch his, her claim on the most generous basis that can be credibly advanced. He also advised against the usage of certain words. It is important, he said, to avoid the use of terms like compensation or redress, he wrote. Just 61 homes have been fully remediated under the scheme, which has been in place for 4 years. $44 million has been spent so far, according to The Ditch. We're going to speak to the author of that article a little later on in the programme. And, of course, a lot of reaction. At the end of the day, I think a lot of the commentary is that the scheme was designed to frustrate, designed to make it difficult to go for, say, for instance, demolition. They were concerned about putting in a cap because they wanted to cap how much people could apply for to rebuild their homes destroyed through no fault of their own. But they were concerned then that if they put in a cap, that that's what people would target. And also, too, they were concerned that there wasn't the expertise amongst engineers to recommend outer leaf only, that everyone would want demolition, and on and on and on. So it is, I think for a lot of people, it confirms what was already suspected. But as I say, we're going to get some reaction to that. We want your reaction as well. 086 60 25,000. The Finn Valley Voice. They've only been making Donegal whiskey for 2 years, but already they've come to the attention of Forbes magazine and TripAdvisor, and they've won one of America's most prestigious Irish whiskey awards. Crow Whiskey, based in the Gweedore Gaeltacht, has arrived, and a Finn Valley man is at the heart of it. Unfortunately, I can't make that out. The writing's a little bit small, but that's all on the front of and the inside of that paper today. On to the Irish Times, and the upcoming budget will be framed around a massive tax and spending package of $8.3 billion. Government ministers confirmed yesterday as they published the summer economic statement. Budget 25, which will be delivered a week earlier than scheduled on October 1st, will include additional public spending of $6.9 billion and taxation measures amounting to $1.4 billion. The SES, which sets out the financial parameters for the October budget, was approved by the Cabinet earlier yesterday. The spending elements corresponds to the annual increase of 6.9%, significantly above the Coalition's 5% spending rule. The rule aims to keep core spending inside a 5% ceiling, which is viewed as sustainable over the medium term. But we are in an election year, so let's go through that ceiling, they say. The enhanced spending figures comes amid warning from the central bank and spending watchdog, the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council, that a big budget package could overheat an already expanding economy. The Department of Finance said the coalition's expenditure strategy was being adjusted to accommodate higher capital spending and to provide additional public services against the backdrop of a larger than assumed population. Minister for Finance Jack Chambers insisted there would be no giveaway budget in October, while indicating a package of one-off cost of living measures, possibly including further energy credits and increases to the means to the rent tax credit, was still under consideration. So, as I say, some people will be better off for it, but others will be concerned at the type of spending and the impacts on the economy and maybe the motivation for it. An interesting story that's covered broadly, and that is the plight of Emirates Airline cabin crew member Tori Tawi, who's effectively a prisoner in Dubai at the moment. Taoiseach Simon Harris has said he's ready to intervene in the case of Irish woman Tori Tawi, who is facing criminal charges and has been banned from leaving Dubai in what he called the most appalling circumstances. 28-year-old Miss Tawi suffered several bruising and other injuries that required hospital treatment after she was allegedly attacked in her home, according to Detained in Dubai. The advocacy group has urged the Irish government to intervene to have the charges against her dropped and allow her to travel home. Detained in Dubai, CEO Raja Searling described the case and the travel ban against Miss Tawi as outrageous. Tori's experience is nothing short of tragic, and quite frankly, she's lucky to be alive. And Miss Sterling said, it's amazing that authorities did not intervene for Tori's protection, given the state her body was in when she was hospitalised for the first time. Worse than failing her, authorities in Dubai actually travel banned her and kept her in the country when she was trying to get away. So she was the victim of abuse, allegedly. But she's actually being charged with she's been charged with abuse of alcohol and also attempted suicide, which is really quite bizarre. On to the Irish Daily Mail, and the Irish Daily Mail has picked up a story we ran last week and have quoted us quite extensively in it. And it's in relation to a newly elected councillor who claimed he was told his home was riddled with mica and joined a legal class action on the issue. Well, he's placed his house on the market, saying he's now learned it does not contain any defective materials. Independent councillor Declan Meehan canvassed extensively in his constituency to fight for an enhanced redress scheme for any affected homeowners. However, he's denied a suggestion that he was seeking to make political advantage out of a miserable situation for others and insists the new test results on his home are a real stroke of luck. And as I say, most of what he says is taken from the interview we carried with him here on the 9 till noon show. Interestingly, though, fellow councillor for the area, Niall Blaney, has made some commentary in relation to this. Councillor Blaney told the Irish Daily Mail that Mr. Meehan's explanation raises more questions than answers. Mr. Blaney said he believes the newly elected councillor should give a full account to those who voted for him. Now, I would argue, and it's not for me to say, that the account given on this programme was in fact very, very detailed. Now, if you believe it or not, that's a different thing, but it certainly seemed to timeline it quite extensively. But Mr. Blaney said he campaigned heavily on this issue as an affected homeowner. I'm affected as well, but in my case, I have a test to prove it. It makes a lot of people sure that he used the mica and defective blocks issue to help strengthen his campaign. But Declan Meehan said that, and this is the criteria for getting on to the scheme in the first place, that engineers viewed his property, and I believe it were two that said that his house was riddled with mica to him. I think for most people I think if I was told by an engineer your house is riddled with mica, I'd probably accept that. In fact, did to some extent, but anyway, that'll rumble on. If you're a school child, block your ears for a number of reasons. It's quite a serious story, but I just remember always in the summer, I just hated the adverts, the back to school adverts, anything that mentioned school, especially whilst we're still in the mid-July period. But anyway, this is a reality and it is quite serious. School books costs were offset, but the financial hit of the new class year is still over €1,000 for primary school children and nearly €1,500 for secondary level. The costs remain a burden for 62% of parents, according to latest research. The Irish League of Credit Unions yesterday calculated that covering back-to-school costs puts 25% of households into debt. the average debt amounted to €368, which is an increase of €62 on the same figure last year, according to the ILCU. A third of households are already in debt and have extra debts of over €500 to cover back-to-school costs. A spokesperson said more than one in four parents go into debt to cover back-to-school costs. And are you feeling that now, or is that coming down the line? Or maybe you try and sort of spread those costs over a longer period of time, but the statistics are quite clear. It does place a lot of families in greater debt. The Mirror tells us that a mountaineering major believes the family of Jay Slater will not stop looking for their lost son until they have news, which I would be surprised if it was otherwise. Search volunteer Shane Yerrill joined the teenager's dad, Warren, 58, and brother, Zach, 24, to scour the rural area in Tenerife where Jay, 19, was last seen. He said, they're just living on hope. It's awful. They've got no answers. They don't know whether Jay's alive or dead. Asked if Jay's parents are holding out hope he's alive, he said, of course, I'd be the same until you know for sure. Jay's uncle, Glenn Duncan, echoed that determination, saying, we're going to have to be doing something because otherwise you're just sitting in the apartment staring at the same four walls. Shane, mayor of Waltham Abbey in Essex, had reached out to the apprentices' bricklayer's family. He said, I told them, I'm no mountain expert, but any means, but I have climbed Kilimanjaro and Mount Olympus, and I'd like to come and help. Okay, there you are. And one sporting story to finish off with. It's in the Sun, but it's in all the papers, of course, and it's the remarkable story of Lamine Yamal. He delivered a dose of football justice as his record-breaking stunner sent Spain to their first final in 12 years. And France home, the entertainers defied the pragmatists in Munich as Yamal became the youngest goal scorer in World Cup or Euros history with an instant classic. It was a cracking shot into the top left-hand corner, and it set the stage for Spain winning 2-1. And he's only 16. And I looked at Aaron yesterday when he scored that goal, who's 18, and I'm not going to lie, I'll probably give him a dirty look as if to say, why couldn't you be a talented 16-year-old, even if you're Luke Littler at the darts? You know, I need money. But anyway, that's that. Fair play to him. He's not 17 till Saturday. Unbelievable. They say if you're good enough, you're old enough. We're going to focus on the Ditch article. They obtained Attorney General's private correspondent to government on the defective concrete block scheme. And it's hard to define how the way I view it is that it kind of confirms what most people suspected about it. It's a fantastic piece of work. Owen McNeil is the co-founder and editor of The Ditch, and he joins us now. Good morning, Owen. Thanks so much for your time.
Hi, Greg. Thanks so much for the show. Thanks for having me.
No, it's great to have you on the show. And well done on this, the latest piece of work from The Ditch crew. I suppose, in your words, talk us through what you found out in this private correspondence from the Attorney General.
This was back in September 2021. The previous Attorney General, Paul Gallagher, he wrote to government after there were a series of meetings between officials from the Department of Housing and the Attorney General's office. This was just a couple of months before government announced what it called and what some portions of the media called the enhanced MICA scheme, which allowed for 100% redress up to a cap of €420,000. Now, many campaigners and many homeowners affected have said that the scheme isn't fit for purpose, that it's deliberately obtuse, it's hard to apply, it's financially restrictive even to actually engage and apply for the scheme. And certainly what we saw in this correspondence from Paul Gallagher to Dara O'Brien, a series of recommendations and suggestions, I think, to keep the costs of the scheme down, to keep payouts as low as possible. There was also, I have to say, I saw Owen O'Brien on Twitter said that, and I would agree, portions of the legal advice to me didn't really read like legal advice. It sort of read like an almost armchair psychoanalysis of people in Donegal, that there were a lot of claims that people would try to better their houses and, you know, sneak in home improvements rather than just seek remedies for houses that are falling down. There were claims that there would be significant abuses of the scheme and other things like that.
And the language seems to suggest that they were putting something in place for whatever the motivation was. And it was a case of that, you know, it was to be abused. There's no talk here of the awful crisis that people are going through, the position they find themselves in through no fault of their own. He noted there's considerable pressure to extend the scheme by providing for more generous payments and extended its scope. If the scheme is made more generous than at present, it also is likely to increase the number of applicants. Well, there's thousands upon thousands of homeowners. Surely a scheme is designed to accommodate as many of them as possible. Whereas this sounds like it's saying, we'll put something in place, but let's not put something too good in place because too many people might be able to fix their homes and they might also do up the kitchen in the process.
Mm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, when you look at the end results of this scheme, you know, it was put in place 4 years ago, and I think it's only 61 or 62 houses have actually benefited from full remediation. So when you see what Paul Gallagher had said to government, and yeah, as you said, this sort of implication that people would be abusing the scheme and doing it for the crack of it almost, you know, and that these were the suggestions he made, which I would certainly think that government took a lot of these suggestions on. And as I said, yeah, the end results would suggest that Paul Gallagher's suggestions worked in that regard, where so few people have been able to actually take advantage of the scheme.
And also, too, his advice was designed really to avoid full demolition. And that's one of the big conversations, as you'd know, Owen, that's been going on for the last number of years. He wanted this scheme designed not based on science or what is actually best for the long-term future of the property and the well-being of its homeowners, but say, for instance, they've designed this so you only do the outer leaf, and the inner leaf also has defective concrete. What this advice is saying is we'll still go with the outer leaf and maybe kicking a further problem, a further can down the road. It doesn't take into consideration the actual science of it. And my concern is this is advice dealing with the public money. It's kind of concerning.
Yeah, and I mean, there was a portion where he said it was about if a homeowner wanted to avail of one of the costlier options, he effectively says that they're going to have to, you know, really jump through a lot of hoops and really make the case for that if they're to avail of anything other than the least costly option. And it does seem like his advice to government was drawn up not to offer full remediation and the best possible remedies that are science-based to people who are affected by this crisis, but to keep the cost of the state down as low as possible. And as you said, I mean, it's state money, and what is a state? Only a collection of people. It's not, you know, some inanimate object, and that should be the first priority of people who are working for the state and who are managing public money.
And also the Attorney General. I'm not I didn't realize this might have been the role of the Attorney General, but he talks of applicants putting pressure on engineers, and that engineers might be pressured by clients to submit claims on the basis that it would be difficult for them to resist doing so. I mean, where is the sort of, how is he employing his legal expertise, I wonder, in that commentary?
But this is it, you know, when anyone gives any kind of legal advice, whether it's the Attorney General or whether it's your local solicitor, there will always be a level of practicality involved where people will say, right, this is the law, this is the case law, these are the legal precedents, here's how it may work in practice. Now, to introduce that certain kind of practical advice is fine, but to do so just on the basis of, he just seems to be saying, oh, well, you know what these people are like. They're going to put pressure on engineers. They're going to try to get one over on us here without offering any kind of evidence or justification. To me, it just read like this personal hunch he had.
And Owen, we can only really speculate as to how much of this advice was taken on board, or look at, you know, the scheme that's there, and then look at this advice and sort of see the correlation there. I mean, it is only advice at the same time, isn't it? I mean, it's not necessarily, we can't presume that every word that he says has been adapted and has been brought into the scheme. We can presume, and we can perhaps see where that may have happened, but that really is, it is advice at the end of the day.
Sure, it is, yeah. And I mean, you know, though it is only advice, certainly over the last number of years, particularly in housing issues, government does have a tendency to treat advice from the Attorney General as if it's Moses coming from Mount Sinai and going like, this is gospel. There is a tendency to do that. And I would also say, I mean, the MICA Action Group gave a statement to the Dáil, I think it was in February of this year, where, look, their statement effectively said that, look, this scheme has been designed to frustrate and deter. It's left people in limbo, et cetera, et cetera. So certainly you could look at what campaigners and affected homeowners are saying, and then you can look at what the advice was, and you can kind of make a few deductions, I suppose. But yeah, as you said, they are deductions.
And it makes you wonder, and we've done hundreds of hours on this, as you can imagine, Owen, but it makes you wonder too if there's a delay in science as to whether the likes of foundations are going to be included, and some people now are waiting to enter the scheme to see what happens in that regard. And now you start wondering, is that by accident or design? You know, that's the kind of questions people are going to be asking. Owen, I know your time's precious. I don't know if you want to hold on the line and listen to Professor Paul Dunlop. He's a professor of geography and environmental sciences at Ulster University and a homeowner and one of the leading voices on this issue, of course, over the last number of years. Professor Paul, your reaction to this Ditch article?
Well, first of all, I'd like to congratulate the guys for publishing this, because it's been really important to try and uncover the truth in this, because, you know, when you're outside of government, you're just at the subject of what you're being fed in the public and the media. And so far, it's been quite difficult to try and undercover what's actually happening within government to try and solve this crisis. And it's absolutely crystal clear from the article that's been published that many of the things that homeowners and campaigners have been experiencing are reflected in that article. Now, whether that advice has been taken on, we can never say, because you're not on those meetings, but everything that's in it is being reflected in reality. You know, even down to like the sort of minor things, like, no, it's really important to use the terms like, or to avoid the use of terms like compensation or redress. I mean, that was advice coming from him. And how many times in the Dáil have people stood up and said, you know, it's really important to understand that this is not a redress scheme, this is a grant scheme. You know, there are all our issues, as we know, that have come to the fore in the last 4 years, while different governments have tried to come up with a scheme to do to solve this crisis. But this is really shocking to read, and it really sort of reflects what we're understanding. Your lived experience of trying to get through on it.
And again, just as Owen was talking, as we were talking that conversation with Owen, a lot of the commentary seems to be about, you know, homeowners, and sometimes you wonder if they've met homeowners, trying to exploit the scheme, trying to shaft the state.
Yeah. I mean, it's clear there's a lot of gaslighting going on here, you know, that. I mean, I was quite shocked to read that, you know. I mean, furthermore, this is his quote, "Furthermore, as night follows day, if a significant number of homeowners are being recompensed on a demolition basis, it is inconceivable this will not encourage most all our homeowners to submit claims on that basis." Now, we're involved in trying to understand the science of what's causing the destruction in people's homes. It's a very fundamental level, it's like getting a diagnosis for an illness. We've been working really, really hard at doing that for the last couple of years with the best concrete and geological scientists worldwide. So we have a very good understanding of the causes of the problem. We know it's a process called internal sulfate attack. It's linked to iron sulfide minerals, and it's pyrrhotite in Donegal. It's phramboidal pyrite elsewhere, but it causes the same issue. Now, that's the basis that you fix homes on. You fix it on knowing what the cause is, and you come up with a remediation option based on that, not on the on an opinion that you think everyone's going to be scrambling to try and get more money off the state. It's absolutely insulting. It's disgusting, and I'm shocked reading that. If that is the attitude of our government about how these families are trying to get on with their lives, I mean, it's absolutely horrific to read that.
Also, too, the calculated way in which it was decided or advised that houses are built to old standards. Now, this is a decision made by a government with the Green Party in it, of course, and we all know what they would think about, you know, how houses are built and what have you. But it was, he actually says that we need to avoid houses being improved, and it's not necessarily a fancy kitchen or an extra bedroom. It's actually that they would be improved to higher quality building standards. He says, as I understand it, the present standard is intended to provide that grant payments be calculated on the basis of the building standards applicable at the time the house was built and not by reference to present day standards. This is intended to avoid payments for improvements.
Yeah.
Remarkable, isn't it?
Totally remarkable. I mean, as an environmental scientist, I mean, my main thing is sort of trying to understand the impacts of climate change, you know, and I've always sort of seen this as what an opportunity to try and build homes again in a way to try and support Ireland's sort of movement towards sort of net zero. Yet the Green Party and government signed off on this scheme. Now, did they listen to that advice? I mean, was that the sort of the conversations that were happening at the cabinet table? From maybe people who were more influential than the Green Party minister, Eamon Ryan. I mean, it makes you wonder now when you see that black and white. I think that's why it's been so important for this article. And I hope the rest of it's published, actually. I mean, I know it's only been excerpts that's been published, but I just think there's been too many secretive things going on. You know, even when you go back to the very beginning of how this failure mechanism was investigated by the original expert panel who published the report in 2017. I mean, the remit for that panel was set in such a way that they weren't even allowed to go and test concrete homes. It was a desktop review. They weren't allowed. The minister didn't allow them to go and actually take any samples and do any analysis. And I can't help but wonder if their hands were untied and they had the right group of people in looking at that concrete, they would have come up with the same things as we have. I mean, it's because it's clear as day when you look at it that's what the cause is. So this whole thing, it just seems to be frustrated at a government level, and it just seems to be about reducing costs. But what's been very, very hard to stomach for someone who's living with this, whose life has been ruined by it, has been trying to step up and give something positive back to the community and the government to try and tackle it. Then when you read something like this, you just realise, actually, did they ever want to tackle this and deal with it in a fair and a just way? They allow people, normal citizens who are taxpayers, part of society, to get on with their lives again?
Well, not really.
The answer seems to be no.
Because the Attorney General's advice is like as this. Say there were 1,000 houses affected. His advice, unless I'm reading it wrong, is effectively, let's design a scheme in such a way that as few as possible of those people whose houses are falling down around their ears can actually apply to the scheme to get them fixed. Now, unless I'm reading it differently, how much of that advice was taken on? That's the caveat. Before I go back to Owen and take an alley, and I don't mean this in any way, but you seem genuinely deflated, if that's even the right word, by this information, Paul. I know
I could not believe that when I read that last night. I was absolutely shocked to the core that's how this entire crisis has been approached. There's always been suspicions about that, you know, particularly because the scheme has been so difficult to get on. The 90-10 scheme fell apart because people couldn't access it. It fell apart because people couldn't afford to rebuild their homes. Then with all the promises of this being a 100% redress, a 100% grant scheme, which everyone knows is not. But then you read that the sort of people at the highest levels of government are advising the civil servants and the government ministers to devise a scheme around gaslighting, around people being scroungers, about people accessing the scheme, only really to benefit themselves and improve their houses. you know, also that the decisions aren't being led by science and trying to actually find a cure for the problem. That's a very difficult read for anybody, never mind me as being a university professor. It doesn't matter. Anybody in this crisis reading that can't help but see that that's pretty horrendous a way to approach it. I mean, just before I go, I've just 2 points to make, and you can bring these up with Ali if he's on after. I mean, Aoife Moore wrote an article on the 6th of October in 2021 in the Irish Examiner where she said, quoting basically Darragh O'Brien, that the same Attorney General, Paul Gallagher, is working on mechanisms to have liable quarries penalised over the sale of defective blocks. Housing Minister Darragh O'Brien, speaking during the leader's question, said he is working extensively with Paul Gallagher to ensure that those who are liable can be held accountable. I believe those that are responsible should contribute to remediation and contribute towards it. Why did he not listen to his advice there, or where did that go? Because nothing's ever happened about that. And the other thing about this too is this, for me, this has cast a very long and a very dark shadow over what's happening in the housing agency now, because we know that people's decisions on their remediation option that's been offered by independent engineers in the original scheme is being overturned. So what process are they following? Are they following this type of guidance that's coming from ministerial behind closed doors as well? Or because
so just
not,
to clarify that, just
science.
Right, so engineers are recommending full demolition and that's being overturned. So is there a diktat or where's that next level of decision making? Who's making it and what's guiding that?
Well, I mean, this article by Owen and the team just casts a shadow over that entire process. I mean, I don't know what the housing agents are doing because I have no dealings with them at all whatsoever. But, you know, if this is the advice that's coming out of a government to develop a scheme, you can't help but think that this is trickling into all sorts of down the corridors and everywhere else. But that has to be absolutely clear that's not happening. We know from the committee hearings in the housing committee in the last couple of months that IS465, for example, has been exposed by everyone, engineers, Bank and Payments Federation of Ireland, Insurance Ireland. No one has given it any credibility. As scientists, we know it's not credible as well, too, because it's tests for the wrong thing in Donegal. And we know that we're doing research that's revising the standard, and that will happen. But it's very late in the game. You know, we're talking about bunches of homeowners that are stuck in the system, and decisions are being made on that existing standard.
I'd love to see any advice now on a local authority housing, on holiday homes, but particularly actually on sort of agricultural buildings, and also the likes of childcare settings, community centres. It'd be very interesting to see what the advice is in that regard. Paul, thanks for your time. I appreciate it, always.
Thanks all for publishing that article.
Yep. Okay. Professor Paul Dunlop, Professor of Geography and Environment Sciences. Is there more to come? Is there more to come, Owen?
That's how we usually do these kind of stories. And I think, this will be no different.
Are we going to be shocked? I know you're working on it and all, but I mean, I suppose you're working through the information and deciding what to release and when to release. But listening to Paul there... I know you probably knew the article was important to begin with, but Paul's an effective homeowner. He's an incredibly intelligent man at the forefront of the science at this. And the only word I could come across, I've spoke to Paul a lot, was he's genuinely deflated by this. But it's better to have this information than to not.
Sure, yeah. And I had read an article in the Irish Times with Keith Duggan where Paul had talked about his experience and when you do kind of listen to Paul, you kind of realise, as if you needed any more realisation, that, these kind of imaginary people that are referred to in the Attorney General's advice who are looking to improve their homes, who are looking to abuse the scheme, it's just such an insult to people like Paul who are wholly representative of the people just looking for some form of redress to put some kind of an end to this absolute crisis.
I mean, there are children suffering long-term respiratory illnesses because of the houses they have to live in. We talked to principals of schools in Inishowen whereby the essays where children are supposed to think freely, everything's in the context of defective concrete. Marriages have been destroyed, families broken up. There are people who are no longer with us and left before their time because of the stress of this, and to be talked about as if it's about to try and garner the system or be implicit in trying to improve homes. It's crazy stuff. Owen McNeil, co-founder and editor of The Ditch. It's theditch.ie, is it?
On theditch.com.
Sorry, I know that because I'm never off it. All right. Okay, Owen, listen, thanks for making your time available to us this morning. I do appreciate
it. Thanks so much, Trey. Thank you for having me.
On theditch.com. Take care. Okay. Sorry for holding you so long there, Ali Farron. And you know what? It's actually no harm for you to digest Paul's comments, the more information we got from Owen there, and what you've also been formulating in your own sort of analysis of the Attorney General's advice. What's your reaction? Of course, Councillor Ali Fallon of the 100% Redress Party.
I've been digesting it since yesterday evening, big time. You asked there a while ago, you asked Owen, will we be shocked at you know, if what Elsie is going to come out with? Well, what he came out with already is shocking enough. You know, that the scheme was designed to fail, which, you know, it might be shocking in some ways, but for most of the homeowners, we know it's not a scheme that's working at the moment. Some of the political parties are obviously saying, oh, it is a good scheme and it is a workable scheme. Well, there's proof again that it's not designed to work. You know, like on the doors, we've found, you know, the amount of people that's disillusioned who's finding it's very, very difficult to get on the scheme. And even just, you know, so there again, I think one of the words with the, and I haven't got it in front of me because I'm just pulled in along the road here. It was designed to be difficult, designed to, you know, so all these things is all what we have been saying. And like, it's another kick in the can exercise down the road. You know, just, it's hard to believe. And again, if this is the knowledge that some of our, if this was the kind of knowledge that is in, was in the Dáil when they were deciding this, or in the powers, you know, the with government officials and the powers of be, like, there's big questions to be asked why some of our local TDs did not call us out and didn't speak up for us, because it's quite obvious we're not getting 100%. The word enhanced scheme, it's far from enhanced, and as far as I see, like, we're talking, like, there's nobody even 100% sure about the numbers involved here, but on the canvas that we would have had, it is nearly unbelievable the numbers that's there. And a bloke was telling me yesterday there's possibly up to 50,000 properties affected that came out of these quarries. So, like, we have a long way to go, and you know, and we're not at a very good start at this moment in time. That's all I can say, Greg.
Just to quote, which I think you might be referencing, the Attorney General, then Attorney General Paul Gallagher, there is considerable pressure to extend the scheme by providing for more generous payments and extending its scope. If the scheme is made more generous than at present, it's also likely to increase the number of applicants, he wrote. And he also said a little later on, that as previously advised, it's going to be essential to lay down stringent conditions which must be fulfilled by every applicant in order to obtain payment on the basis of any option other than the least costly option.
Yeah. But it's all based, from what I can gather, on the IES 465, which is based on the principle of the MICA, and it's not based on the proper scientific evidence that we have at the moment, as Paul was just talking about. So, like, the scheme, you know, while this is our second scheme, it's still not a scheme that's fit to deliver remediation for homes in Donegal.
Is it designed? Not is it designed in that way, though? That's the question. Obviously, this was advice. The government might be able to release a press statement saying, look, we had that advice, we disregarded it, and we've put in a very good scheme, and so on and so forth. And that can't be disputed or disproven. People can have their opinions on it, don't get me wrong. But is it your feeling now confirmed that actually the scheme was designed not to be fit for purpose?
I do think it was designed not to be fit for purpose. And I'm speaking to, in the past, some of the people who would have been trying their best to negotiate this to deliver a proper scheme. They were and they encountered nothing but negativity. And, you know, there were very little gains. They couldn't make headroads into the permanent civil service who were dealing with them, who probably had that letter or them letters and as their advice mode. So it was designed not to, to work for us.
I'm not saying this, Ali, as is my opinion, but I'm sure someone out there might have that opinion. Say, for instance, things like modular homes, right, are being used widespread by the state across the country for various different reasons. But very early on, that was a solution that was ruled out in Donegal. People out there will now say, well, was that decision made because having somewhere to move into whilst your house was being fixed on this scheme might have made you more inclined to go on the scheme? Do you know what I mean? Like, there are people who are going to ask now, well, were these homes not provided now because it might encourage people to go on the scheme? Because the Attorney General, in his advice, is saying we don't want to encourage people on the scheme. So, in other words, every decision that's made, especially the ones that don't make a great deal of sense, there are going to be people out there, and I'm not saying this, there are going to be people out there that are going to say, well, maybe those homes weren't provided because it might have made the process a little bit more accessible for people.
It's not accessible at the moment. Modular homes, we brought it up again at the first defective concrete block home or defective block committee there. So, you know, it's something we have to keep the pressure on. Like, they use modular homes to house other people in other parts of this county, and there's no estate. Like, I'm sitting here in Muff at the moment, and I'm looking around me, and there's probably 100 houses in front of me, and, you know, like, where's them people going to go? The main talk at the moment is about getting modular homes in to, you know, for the council tenants to move council tenants. But all these private houses in front of me, they're going to need places to move into while they rebuild their house. You know, so, look, it's something that needs to be developed. And as a 100% redress party, we hope to be able to keep that kind of them topics to try and deliver a better scheme. But look, it's
everywhere you look. I mean, I drove into a couple of housing estates in Letterkenny, and I think some of your guys who were on the canvas spotted it. And I'm not sure if everyone that's living in them realises it, but, you know, full estates with all the telltale signs. You hope it's not it, but my word, the extent of this is...
Listen, the biggest thing I found on the canvas... The biggest thing I found on the canvas was the people who didn't want to admit they had it and they didn't want to have it. And unfortunately, like, we now know that the numbers of the houses that have it is growing on a daily basis. Mm. You know? So,
Ali, thanks for pulling over and having a chat. I do appreciate it. Safe onward journey. That's Councillor Ali Farron there. We also spoke to Professor Paul Dunlop, of course, a regular voice on this issue with us here on Highland Radio. And a thanks as well to Owen McNeil, co-founder and editor of The Ditch, ontheditch.com, if you want to check out that article, ontheditch.com. And as Owen indicated, they'll be releasing more information, working more on this story down the line, so well worth keeping an eye on that and some of the other stuff they've exposed, which we've referenced on this show on a number of occasions as well, of course. Right, some of your comments here. Did the Attorney General not insult the engineer's integrity also? Well, if you're an engineer and you feel your integrity was insulted, I'd be very interested to hear from you. Greg, I'm totally disgusted with the government by the revelations re the defective concrete block redress scheme. It shows that our government, elected by us, are not working for us. What other policies are taken by them to the detriment of the Irish people? I, for one, will definitely not be voting for Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil in the next general election. Well, I mean, the permanent civil service and potentially the Attorney General doesn't change. But anyway, I take your point. Ireland never really ever looked after its people, especially the poor or working class, since the state was founded. Wake up, people. The government parties do not care about you. It's time for a rethink. There's an election on the way, so think long and hard. This could be you. Remember, health, housing and elderly and service tax take has never been higher. Hi, Greg. Can you please ask our Government Minister, Charlie McConnellogue, on to discuss this issue regarding the correspondence from the Attorney General? The correspondence is absolutely shocking. This from an effective homeowner. Well, sadly, Minister Charlie McConnellogue is the only government rep, it has to be said, who will not speak to me on this programme because he believes that I have an anti-government narrative, and that's his right. Hi, Greg. I wonder, was Joe McHugh and Charlie McConnellogue privy to the fact that their constituents were being demonised by the AG? And if that, what is their response now? Well, we've contacted both. Councillor Frank McBurtie has been saying this for years. No one would listen to him. Lots of people listened to Councillor McBurtie, but lots of people also believed that the scheme, and I'm not saying this, but others did, believed that the scheme was designed to frustrate and complicate. That's been on the record for years. Greg, a big point to consider is whether these repair jobs on our houses will restore mortgageability condition. The AG's advice ignores our consumer protection rights as mortgage holders. Where are the central bank in all of this? Banks need engineers' certification. And another question needs to be asked, was our minister at the table when the advice was given and the decision was made? And on it goes. We've got loads of correspondence, as you can imagine, in relation to that. We'll get to that and so much more in the next 2 hours of the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. Keep your messages coming in to 086 60 25000.